Okay, so we talked about the non-Jewish residency. That we gave him easier. We talked about the non-Jewish resident, and we talked also about the non-observant resident. And we said that there are two separate concerns, and I highly recommend catching the audio that I sent out last night to clarify what we said last week. But there are two separate concerns fundamentally. Concern number one is that if there is a resident on the yard who does not live in Eruv, then his Eruv Chatzeros is meaningless because he doesn't actually join with the other, so he can't do Eruv. What he can do is Bitol Rishus. He can say, I nullify my presence. That's his option. Maybe Schirus, which we'll talk about at the end if we get there. The other concern is, if he doesn't believe in Jewish law as a whole, he may actually have the halachic status for certain laws of a non-Jew. Sounds surprising, but it's true. So that he can't make an Eruv. And his Bitol doesn't work either, because when you deal with non-Jews, we require schirus. We actually require rental. So it's important that we understand when we're talking about residing on a yard that has non-observant Jews, we need to know, is he a Jew who believes in general in halacha but doesn't believe in Eruv? Or is he a Jew who doesn't believe in Jewish law altogether? And there are different subcategories within that. Now, we had a discussion already last time. I'm not going to revisit it now. In terms of whether we view him to really entirely like a non-Jew and the multiple contradictory chumros that could be involved by saying that. So on the one hand, we could say that he's like a Jew in the sense that a Jew might live alone on a yard with him. But on the other hand, he's like a non-Jew, and there's a concern of Shema Yilmod Bimasav, and then can you rent from him and so forth. We talked about that last time, Rabbi Akiva Eger, Evan Ozer, and it's on the recording. But I want to move on from that. So first of all, we need to define what it means to say he doesn't believe in Eruv, so that you have to do Bittul with him as opposed to Eruv. So the Tzduki is the one in this category from the Gemara on Samach Aleph and Midbeis, Shulchan Aruch Shin Pei Aleph, and his Eruv doesn't work. It also includes, though, a Jew who doesn't believe in this mitzvah specifically. He believes in other mitzvahs, just not in this one. And the Mishneh Berurah says it in Shin Pei Hei Beis. I brought it on your sheets in Source Man Beis. He says, not necessarily it's Siddiqui, but Hu Hadin Imrak Einu Modu B'mitzvahs Eruv. Einu Yochalim Din Chilek Be'Eruv. He can't participate in an Eruv if he doesn't think that he's actually doing anything. Now, also, someone who violates Shabbos in public will count as somebody who doesn't believe in Eruv because he doesn't believe in anything about Shabbos. And therefore, he can't participate in Eruv. But there you have a bigger problem. He can't do Bittul either because he doesn't believe in anything. He's in the bigger category of doesn't believe in Jewish law. And so, if he's Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesia, we have to talk about, towards the end, Mechal Shabbos B'Tzina. What if he violates Shabbos, but only in private? Which category is he in? But that's the category of someone who doesn't believe in Eruv, and for him, no Eruv, yes Bittul. Now, what about somebody who doesn't believe in Jewish law? So he can't do Bittul, he can't do Eruv, and may do Schirus potentially. So the easiest of these is the Jew who worships Avodah Zarah. Right? That's somebody who, we say, doesn't believe in Jewish law. That's the Gemara in Erbin, Samach Tesamad Aleph on Talmud Beis. I brought it in Source Mem Gimel. Chashul Davar Echad Law V'Chashul Chalat Torah Kula. In general, if he's suspected of violating one law, that doesn't mean we think he drops the entire Torah. Ad Avim Mumer Lavodas Kochavim. Unless you're talking idolatry, in which all bets are off. And it's explained in Rashi there, if you take a look at Source Mem Dalet. He says, Ad Avim Mumer Lavodas Zara. Dahu Vade Chashul Lachomili. Because he is suspect for everything. As we say, Avodah Zarah is so strict, it's like denying the entire Torah, and he gives you the reference from the Gemara in Horios. So that's somebody who is off, out, that's it. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch and Shin Pei Hei Gimel. The Mishneh Berurah on that says, even if he violates in private, it doesn't make a difference. And even if he only does it once, even if he only did Avodah Zarah once, the Mefarshim say that's good enough, so to speak, that he's now in this category, of doesn't believe in Jewish law. He can do tshuva, that's a whole other discussion, not for right now. The second element, a Jew who violates halacha lahachis in order to anger. Right? He wants to get out of it, he's going to spite God. And a person who does that, even in private, is in the category of somebody who doesn't believe in Jewish law. The Mishneh Berurah in Shin Pei Hei Dalid identifies this category. He quotes it from Yeridei of Beis Hei. A lot of these halachas appear in the laws of Shechita, and who Shechita is or is not acceptable. Take a look at Source Mem Hei.
Why is it not like an Api Kurt?
Take a look in Source Mem Hei. Mumer Lahachis, somebody who is a mumer to anger God. Afil Davar Echad, even if just for one particular thing. You know, he has one avera that he does to anger God. Oshu mumer levadas kochavim, or mumer for avodah zarah, or mechala shabbos befrahes. Yeah, oshu mumer lechala torah, afilu chutz mishnayim elu. Even if it's other than these two things, dino kavod kavod kochavim. He has the status of an idolater. So, what exactly is this mumer lahachis that we're talking about? So, the Simcha Chadasha is an important achron to know on shechita. People who learn shechita have to learn Simcha Chadasha. Otherwise, people know it exists. So in source Mem Vav, he says, "Mumer lahachas afilu b'davar echad perish," meaning, "Kigon sheheter v'isur lefanav." He has in front of him a mutar item and an asur item. V'yesh hana beheter kibisur. The two are just the same to him. It's not that one tastes better than the other. The same hamburger, just one happens to be kosher, one happens to be non-kosher. V'hu docha mimenu aheter biyadayim. He actively rejects the mutar one. Uposhe yadav davke leisur, and he reaches out his hand to take the asur one. Shemizenira kavanosa lahach is boro. So clearly, he wants to anger his creator. Oh, shenizrka bominos shenoman vosa mitzvah. Or he has in him some heretical element that he doesn't believe in that mitzvah. Verotza laharos shedocha osame alav. He wants to show, I don't believe in this. Now, who exactly is he angering in the latter category? Does he believe in God? And he's angering God? Is he trying to anger the community? On a very simple level, it sounds like this is not Bikaros, because this is somebody who believes that there is a God to anger. The person who is in a fight with God believes. He says, I do this in order to anger God, or I think this mitzvah is a joke, and I want to show that I don't believe in it. But he generally is a ma'amin. You know, he's just a bizarre ma'amin. But that's the way that the Simcha Chadasha explains it. It's not only him, but I liked his simple formulation, and that's what I brought. The Darchi Tshuva has a discussion of it as well. Do we assume that someone is lahachis? The Simcha Chadasha says that's not our assumption. Usually when you see somebody violate, you assume that it's l'tayavon. It's because he has a desire for whatever it is that he's getting. If you take a look at source Mem Zayin, he says, Lo mabaya hecha dira uhu mahadirak sherev lo matzav acham nevela pshita zel l'tayavon mikri. He says, clearly, if you see him trying to get kosher, but he can't get it, and so he eats the nevela, obviously that was just for tayavon. But even if we saw him eat the nevela, yeah, that should be a song. That's my OCR. Even if you saw him eat nevela, stam. You didn't know what he was trying to get, but you saw him eat nevela intentionally. He saw on the label it said nevela. Nonetheless, you could assume it's teavon. He didn't find kosher, and therefore he ate this. That's the position of the Simcha Chadasha.
That's treated more leniently in halacha when someone violates
the teyavon. Well, for example, he's not in our category of lachis.
Right.
Yeah, correct. I'm going very quickly because I have to go to Lavaya. So the Ha'alach HaShlomo, or Shlomo Kluger, disagrees. And he says, not today. He says, nowadays, everybody who sins is assumed to be lachis. So he writes, completely counter the way people like to say, you know, today is different. He says, no. He says, Enoklum. He says, Vade bismanazen, Nashmu kulum over lahachis, so there. Okay, fine. If you want more on this, see Grouse, Perek Vava, Arasamach Dalet. So which halachos are we talking about when we say if someone violates lahachis, then he's in this category of doesn't believe in Jewish law? So the general rule is any particular halacha. The Ran and Tosus and Chulin Gimlam Beis, the Kesef Mishnah, Hechashchita, Dalad, Yadalad, which I brought you on the sheet, but I'm not going to go into right now, but you see it in Memtes. He says, any Aveira doesn't make a difference, puts it in this category of Lahachis, and Grouse notes in Perek Vav, it's Chavtes, that even Bidul Asay will do this. And we'll see that from the Chacham Tzvi in a bit. Even if it's just he fails to do an Asay, but it's Lahachis, to anger God, he's not going to pick up a loaf, that puts him in this category. And even if it's just once, even if he only did it once, the Aruch HaShulchan has a very nice formulation of that, in which he says, in Source Nun, he says, I'm jumping into the middle of it, he says, he's doing it to anger God. Why should I wait for him to develop a track record? We know what he's doing. There's no purpose to developing a pattern. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says, even just once, and here it's even in private. Is that what you were going to ask, Yisrael Meir?
Not the repetition. You have to get the pattern.
But don't we say that any time you're able to do tshuva?
So tshuva may change everything here. The question really is, and it's beyond what I'm going to get to now, how do you know he's done tshuva?
No.
But tshuva will change any of this.
No, what I'm saying is that we say, why are we waiting for him to take a track record? Even if we know what his intentions are, he may change at any time.
Even if we know what his intentions are, he may change, but we need some demonstration. In other words, he has acquired a certain status, and we need to know that things are different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may not need evidence, but we do.
What is our definition of sin here?
So we'll talk about that as well. But even in private, he becomes a mumar lahachis. Dachi Tshuva quotes this from the Ravid Hazav, who Rav Shachter likes to mention. The Prima Gadim as well in the Psicha Cholelas to Orachayim says lahachav ham echad mashma af bitzina. I brought that in source Nun Aleph. The Chacham Tzvi discusses a possible distinction, and that's the one that I mentioned before in source Nun Beis. He wants to know maybe there's a distinction between private and public. And bitul asay versus los asay. Meaning, it could be violating a los asay in private makes a person a lahachis, but failure to fulfill an asay would not be. And the Das Torah, the Rosh Hadran, actually agrees with this. On Shin Pei Hei, Chav Hei, I didn't go into it in depth on here, but it's worth noting the distinction.
It depends on the asay, though.
He has a pretty...
Bris Mila, Korban Pesach would be different level.
Possibly, yeah. Right. True. Okay, so what we have under doesn't believe in Jewish law is a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah, Rachmana Litzlan. I'm going to say Rachmana Litzlan once for this whole category. Jew worships Avodah Zarah, a Jew who violates Halacha Lahachis even in private, and a Jew who violates Shabbos publicly even if it's not Lahachis. Even if it's Litei Avon, is our third category here. So this requires some discussion. What do you mean a Jew violates Shabbos publicly, even if it's not Lahachis? So the Gemara in Erevin Daf Samach Tes makes the distinction. Source Nun Gimel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Balashan Acheres Maruv Asutz Archechem B'Mavoi, right? The story with the Tzeduki in Rabbi Gamliel's yard. So take care of all your needs in the Mavoi till Shabbos starts. The Gemara goes into a discussion about that because there are two different possibilities, right? Is it until he carries and he ruins your access to the Rishus, or is it until Shabbos begins because you don't have the right to make an Eruv? And the Gemara makes the distinction between two categories, one where he is Mechal HaShabbos B'Tzina, one where he is Mechal HaShabbos B'Farhesia. And the implication of the Gemara there is that if he violates it in public, he is like a non-Jew. If he's violating Shabbos in public, I don't care why he violates Shabbos. If he violates Shabbos in public, we have to define public, he is like a non-Jew. Why is Shabbos special? So the Gemara in Erevin Samach Tes Amud Aleph over into Amud Beis notes the debate between the two sources and so forth, and has Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak say it's a unique law regarding Bittul Rishus, meaning we're talking about being Mevatel Yerushus, therefore we care about whether he violates Shabbos in public. It's unique to this area of Halacha. And Rav Ashi, who says, no, there is such a possibility of saying that we distinguish between Shabbos and everything else. You violate Shabbos, that makes you a mumer for everything. You violate any other mitzvah in the Torah, it doesn't make you a mumer for everything. Shabbos is unique. That's the position taken by Rav Ashi. Which leads to a question, and a distinction between Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak and Rav Ashi. What about Yom Tov? If it's because I'm doing Bittul Rishus, so that's a Shabbos issue. That's not necessarily a Yom Tov issue. On the other hand, if you think Shabbos is unique, maybe Yom Tov also has this category. So, in truth, in Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer, Kufchav Gimel Hey, talking about writing a get, what if a get was written on Shabbos? What if a get was written on Yom Kippur? So there, they lump together Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Shabbos and Yom Kippur here, Yom Tov presumably not in this category. The Kaf HaChaim, on the other hand, the Shin Pei Hei Tes, I did not bring it on here, includes Yom Kippur and other Yomim Tovim in our law. Rabbi Grouse's Sefer says to see the Derech Yeshuva, Yeredeya, Beis, Sif Ayin, Sif Katan Ayin, and the Sharm Tzionim Bahalacha, Ayin Beis Gimel, suggesting to include Yom Tov as well, and the Das Torah, Yeredeya, Sif, I think it was Beis Chavtes in Yeredeya, or Chaim Shin Pei Hei Chavtes, it's not clear in my notes, bring sources supporting inclusion of Yom Tov in this category as well, not just Shabbos. Now, will that include Yom Tov Sheni? Comes to our next halacha. The question then is, which laws are we talking about? When you say you violate Shabbos, Shabbos is a big place, even before we get into Yom Tov. Does that mean everything about Shabbos? So the Bir Halacha in Shin Pei Hei Afilu, I brought it here in source Nun Hei, says that it applies even to derabbanans, but maybe not muktzah, he says. I'm not sure about Muktza. Muktza is just moving an item, maybe, therefore that won't count. And he says, I found that the Tiferes Yisrael, that it was strict for Muktza as well. I think what he means when he says it's just Tiltal, maybe like the Tosfos and Pesachim Daf Lamed, that says that Muktza does not have a biblical root. And it's not like Derabbanan's where there's a biblical and then there's a lest you violate the biblical. Muktz is a thing unto itself. And therefore, maybe that's why he wants to be lenient. The Darchei Tshuva quotes a story of a Shohet, as I mentioned to you when I came across this. And it's the Darchei Tshuva in Yeredeya Beis, Sivkan Ayin. Story of a Shohet Ubodek. Guy gets called up for an aliyah because he was a Baal Bris. There was going to be a Bris on Yom Tov. And he hands the Shohet coins. And the Shohei accepts the coins. And people afterwards said, what in the world do you think you're doing? And his answer was, well, I'm poor, and he's a stingy guy, and if I waited till later, he wouldn't give it. And his whole justification for it. And the Shela Shalom, Chelik Beis, Kufte Dalid, mentions the story and says they disqualified his Shechita for doing so, and that seems to be a proof that Muktza counts in this discussion. We assume it wasn't commerce, it was a Muktza violation. So that's in terms of violating Shabbos publicly, which that would count as. Now we're saying even Derabbanan, and potentially even Muktza, but now we have to shift to define violating. What exactly does violating mean in terms of this? And then the question of defining public. So, defining violating. Unlike Avodah Zarah, and unlike Lahachis, Mechal Shabbos Befarhesya, for Te'avon purposes, may not be triggered by a single violation. The Mishneh Berurah in Shin Pei Hei Dalet brings multiple views and seems to believe that once is not going to put him in that category. But he does quote the Shach in Yeredeya Beis Yud Zayin, which I brought you here in Source Nun Vav, and he indeed seems to say, he says, Afilu Rak Pam Achas. Even once, he's out. Now he's a mumer. So some views stick to the number idea very clearly. The Meiri, which I brought you on the sheet in Source Nun Zayin, he says, Perusho Pam Ushtayim. Once or twice. Not once, but a number. Two will do it. Ditto in the Magen Avram, Shin Pei Hei Beis, the Taz in Yeredeya Yud Aleph Beis, the Beis Yosef in Yeredeya Kuf Yud Tes quotes the Rashba that it's three times, the Stechemed in Reish, Entry Tezvav, says two or three times makes him Ragil Bekach. But not everybody ties it to a number. Tosfos doesn't seem to think it's about a... That's an interesting question. I think even on one Shabbos, I don't think we're going to do the whole Basso sub Achas Mehena on this. But take a look at Tosfos in Source Nun Ches. He says Mumer lo shayach lev adam haragil lechalal Shabbosos. Mumer means he regularly violates Shabbos. It is a klal. He's not careful at all. Aval hacha lo baragil ayri. But we're not talking about a ragil here in his discussion. Ela shebemid. This is the guy who goes out with the ring on Shabbos. He had one particular circumstance in which he needed to do it. I hope you're using the most recent one, the one that I sent out a couple hours ago, because everything else is out of order otherwise.
Yeah,
I switched the order on it. Okay. So Tosfos says it's about why he did it. Was it the chag or was it that he didn't care? Similarly, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Shin Pei Hei Gimel says it has to be a pattern, and that's the approach taken by the Aruch HaShulchan in Yeredeya Beis Tezayin, is that it really has to be a pattern of behavior that not so much about the numbers as how does he view this halacha, how does he carry it out. Defining public. So who has to witness this? There's a discussion in the Gemara in Sanhedrin regarding Kiddush Hashem, where they say it has to be in front of 10 Jews. And that's what Mishneh Berurah says here. Shin Pei Hei Dalet, he says 10 Jews, but it doesn't have to be in front of them. He includes, based on the Prima Gadim in Yeredeya, Sif Seidaz, Beis Yudzayin, the Mishneh Berurah here writes, I think I brought it on the sheet, that the... Yeah, there it is. Osheyed in Source Samach Aleph. Osheyed that she's parsing b'nayim. It's enough if he knows that it's going to be public, that people are going to find out. That counts as a public violation. Interestingly, the Kaf HaChayim in Yeredeya Beis Mem Tes says women don't count towards 10 for this purpose. Evidently, they don't count. I don't know if that's because of Yidashi B'soch B'nei Yisrael, and they're not B'nei Yisrael, not B'nos Yisrael. I don't know. I didn't look into it. But the Rav Pa'alim, that's the Ben Yishchai in Chelik Beis or Chaim Samach Beis, says it's not true. Men and women are the same for this purpose. What about Shabbos violators who are not in this category. Who else? I'm going to race now. I'm sorry. The Shabbos violators who are not in this category. So first of all, one who does it l'te'avon in private may not be in this category. He's not l'hachis, and he's not l'te'avon. The Gemara in Erevin gives us, it's Samach Tes, gives us a story with a fellow with the ring, right? Or it's not a ring, it's bosem, according to Rashi. The Mishnah Brura says, even if he's embarrassed to do it in front of a great person, even though he does it in groups of others, that's already sufficient to take him out of this category. And so Shinpei Hei Gimel says he is not in this category, even if he violates biblical law. That's one person who's not in this category. The second person who's not in this category is an Omer Mutter, somebody who thinks that it's allowed. He doesn't think that it's wrong. He thinks the rabbi who told him you're not allowed to do this is crazy. So the Bir Alacha writes, I brought it for you on the Shin Shinpehe Olachalil in Source Samach Gimel. He says he's not violating. I mean, he is violating, but he made a mistake. That's it. The third category and most controversial is Tinok Shenishba, the child who literally, you know, taken captive and raised among non-Jews where he doesn't know anything, but people tend to apply it to a Jew who didn't have Jewish education. So the Taz brings this up in the Beis Yosef in the discussion of Tzeduki in Sur Samach Dalet, the idea that Tzedukim nowadays are not called Mumrim because they're just doing what their ancestors did. They don't know any better. Then you have to ask, what about a Jew who's not a Tzeduki, but just also doesn't know any better? So the Chazon Ish says he's not a Mumr in Peizayin Yudalet. I brought it in Samach. He's not a Mumr until you actually teach him whatever the Dayanim think is necessary to teach somebody in order that he should be considered somebody who knows, and it still doesn't work, then he's a mumer. So what about if he violates Shabbos publicly? Will you still say the same thing? The Beis Yosef says he's not called a violator because he doesn't know any better. The Mishnah Brura, however, notes, it's Mishnah Brura Shinpehe Aleph and then the Shar Tzion Beis, that Tosos, the Rosh, and the Rambam say no. You violate it publicly, he's like an Akum. And he's very surprised to see that Beis Yosef claim that the Rambam supports him. He thinks not. The Chazon Ish says, you know why? Because you're talking about the wrong Tzedukim. The Chazon Ish in Peizayin Yadalat, I brought it on the sheet, says those we showed him, Tosos, Rosh, and the Rambam, are talking about Tzedukim of the time of the Gemara, who were considered Mazid. Where that doesn't apply for modern Tzedukim. The Beis Yosef is talking about the ones who are just doing it because my father was a Tzedukim, his grandfather was a Tzedukim, and so forth. Okay.
Sorry.
The one other last category for this, a Jew who violates three laws, the Simla Chadasha, says a Jew who violates three laws, I brought it in Source Samach Tes, is also going to be in this category of a Mumer. He didn't say which three laws. Any three laws. Okay. Last two items. What about a Machal Shabbos L'Te'avon in private? Who I started to mention before. I'm actually not sure why I brought it twice. Picking up on that issue of the Machal Shabbos L'Te'avon in private, do we say, oh, I know why, because now I'm asking, do we say he accepts Eruv and he can do Eruv? That's the question. The Shulchan Aruch discusses him, just says he's Mevatel his Rishus. It doesn't say he can be Ma'ariv, it doesn't say he cannot be Ma'ariv. It just says he's Mevatel his Rishus. So the Piskei Or Zeruah, Eruv in Vav Tes, says he can do Eruv. Rashi in Chulin, Meshamer Shabbasel B'Shuk, which I brought you on your sheet, says it as well, but in Source Ayin Aleph, that he is able to do Eruv. The Shulchan Aruch Harav has it in parentheses that he can do Eruv. He says he can be Mevatel, in the parentheses says he can be Ma'ariv, the guy who's Mechalel in private. Others disagree. The Rambam in his Perush Mishnayos Vav Beis says you have to be Mode Be'eruv in order to make one, and the Aruch HaShulchan takes that and applies that here in Shinpehe Aleph. The Prima Gadim of Zav Shinpehe Aleph leaves it as Tzarech Iyun. So that's one very interesting debate. There's more on this in Rabbi Grouse's book. It's in Perek Vav Ha'ara Nun Dalet. Last issue. Echote, a Jew who sins, is he able to rent out his Rishus? Now I'm talking about who's like a non-Jew, Machal Shabbos entirely and so on. But just a sinner, can he rent out his Rishus? So the Shulchan Aruch has a machlokes regarding schiras for a Jew. It's in Shinpehe Gimel. And Shinpei Gimel, I should say, in Source Ayin Dalet, some say he can do rental, some say he can't do it. Why in the world couldn't he do rental? So the Aruch HaShulchan offers an explanation. He says it's because the rental they talk about in the Gemara, and this Rabbi Zering is going to talk about when he gets to Schiris Rishus, is what's called Schiris Re'ua. It's a poor form of rental. And they're doing it even on Shabbos. So he says that's not justified for a Jew because a Jew could just do bittul. The reason we do it for the non-Jew is because bittul isn't an option. So therefore, he can do it. But for a Jew, you're not going to justify it. Therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says, even those who do not accept rental for a Jew will permit a full, proper rental, as long as you do it before Shabbos. And indeed, the Magen Avraham seems to say that, and the Mishnah Brura seems to conclude leniently in Shin Pei Yud Gimel. The Chazon Ish says it does not work. In Pei Zayin Yud Gimel, he says there is no such thing as Schirus for Jews, but he says you don't have a problem anyway, because what do we do? And the Aruch HaShulchan has a similar idea. He says you do your rental for the entire city, right? So whatever extent they own, they're like either like non-Jews, and Schirus works for them, or they're Jews, and the Arab that you make works for them. But you can't say, Nishtahin, Nishtaher, says the Chazon Ish. Therefore, they are included. I actually am wondering about that a little bit, but that's what he seems to say, and I have to go to the Levaya, unfortunately, so that concludes this. Yishkarach.